On the KSRO live line with us is Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. Gavin, good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Good to have you here, too. He's running for governor, as you well know, and the latest polls show you in the lead, not a huge lead as it once was, but still in the lead. Are you feeling fairly confident going into tonight's debate?
Yeah, I mean, we've, you know, less than 30 days to go. Election day technically was yesterday when the absentee ballots started dropping. And by some estimates, we expect 70% of the vote, 70% of the vote, to be in before June 5th. So in many ways, every day now is incredibly important day, debate or not. People are now debating the direction of the state, and they've got 27 candidates to choose from.
Yes, indeed. And that's a remarkable number, though, 70% at this stage of the game. So the candidates for the governor's debate tonight in San Jose, everybody's getting together. You got some heat for skipping the one in Southern California, but you'll be there tonight, right?
Yeah, I'll be there tonight. I've done three other debates in Southern California. And so I think this is the ninth time we've all appeared on the stage. And I can assure you that's significant compared to previous gubernatorial elections. And again, we're not even at the primary yet. If we're successful, I imagine there'll be many, many other opportunities to witness a number of us on stage together through November.
How would Gavin Newsom as governor be different than Jerry Brown as governor?
Build on his legacy. I think the governor's done an amazing job proving you don't have to be profligate to be progressive, meaning, you know, he's gotten the budgets balanced. He paid off that debt that we inherited from the Schwarzenegger administration. We had $27 billion budget deficit, and now we're quite literally debating the size of the surplus, and unemployment rate is now down to the lowest it's been in half a century, and we're now the fifth largest economy in the world. That said, I think the difference for me in terms of building on his legacy is to address the issue that I think defines all others, and that's the issue of social mobility, income and wealth disparity, the fact that we're the richest and the poorest state, the middle class feeling the squeeze, the affordability crisis with housing, and then the homeless problem, which is just simply out of control.
Well, as you know, here in the North Bay, we've been hurting since the October fires and are just beginning the rebuilding process. Ours is a very dramatic example in the state of the housing crisis. What first steps would you take as governor to address that particular issue?
Well, a number of things. First of all, I was up there just the day after the fires first appeared, and the devastation is just jaw-dropping. It's just an extraordinary thing, and my heart goes out to everybody up there that's going through, further trauma, and that is related to getting insurance claims, getting permits, getting contractors, deciding whether or not to leave the community or stay in the community, and the impact it's having on the regional economy and obviously the tax base. And so it's incredibly challenging. And so a couple of lessons. Number one, the most important thing is to learn from our mistakes as it relates to our emergency response. There was a very, I thought, comprehensive and impressive post-disaster report that was done as it relates to interoperability and communication strategies, as well as alert systems, opting in versus opting out. And bottom line in all of that, long-windedly, is to make sure that we're more prepared in the future. Number two, we got to be prepared for wildfires by being more proactive, calling out our forests, dealing with all the dead trees and dealing with bush maintenance and addressing the issues of this sort of rural interface now with housing that becomes more and more challenging in an environment where the hots are getting hotter and the dries are getting drier. And so all of that, just long-windedly, requires vigilance, not just in the short term, but the medium to long term, and making sure we're there lending a hand to the community for many, many years to come.
And your stance on civil rights, Gavin, is cemented in this state thanks to your decision to allow gay marriages in the city before it became legal. Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf, some say, had a Gavin Newsom moment when she publicly announced an ICE raid before it happened. What does it feel like to be that kind of a part of the public lexicon?
I don't know about that. Look, at the end of the day, I think what everybody wants, at least what I want out of my elected officials, is authenticity, truthfulness. I don't think we want ideologues. I think we want people that are open to argument, interested in evidence, and we want people always to maintain an open point of view to other people's points of view. But if you believe in something, stand for something. Don't say one thing in private and do another in public. And, you know, I think Libby Schaaf did what she did. I applauded it, but I also recognize she didn't need to do it if we actually had leadership at the federal level to address the issue of comprehensive immigration reform. And the fact remains we have these sanctuary policies up and down the state, and obviously substantively now with the state overlay SB 54. For that same reason, lack of national leadership, a lack of willingness for people to cooperate, collaborate, compromise. And I really hope we move past this vitriol and finger pointing and scapegoating and really sort of set aside our differences and start looking at this issue more comprehensively from a federal frame so that we can work through this very difficult time with Jeff Sessions, Donald Trump, and all the consternation around this issue.
Yeah, the name calling doesn't really serve anybody in terms of productivity. Are you surprised, Mr. Newsom, by the number of counties, mostly in Southern California, who want to resist the sanctuary effort?
No, candidly. I think it's been wildly overstated, the significance of this reaction. Remember, there are 58 counties in the state. There are over 470 cities. Only a handful have decided to pull back. Now there's legal action against those counties, those cities. Obviously, they'll be addressed in court. But you know, one of the things that's become, for me, very obvious in this debate, particularly around our sanctuary state status, is I don't think many people have read the legislation Governor Brown negotiated and signed. There are 800 exceptions that have been carved out where we do collaborate and coordinate with the federal authorities on immigration. Sanctuary policy that Governor Brown signed is not a get-out-of-jail-free card, and it's not sanctioning criminal activity and criminal behavior. The way that some folks portray it is in stark contrast to, I think, the facts. And so I hope at a certain point the folks that oppose it could be a little bit more specific about their opposition, less generic about it, less ideological about it. And I think one thing I know about Governor Brown is he's a pragmatist, and he is also open argument. And if people present evidence and information at the county level, the sheriffs that are concerned about it, that specifically can suggest improvements, I have all the confidence in the world, the current governor, and if I'm successful as your next governor, I'll be all ears and I'll do my best to make the kind of adjustments to try to bring people together on this.
Gavin, you've been asked questions before about your behavior because of the uprising of the Me Too movement. You've freely admitted to an affair in 2007. What's your opinion about the mighty who've fallen as a result of the movement, including many of those who've fallen without due process?
Well, I, of course, believe in due process. I don't believe in ready, fire, aim. In my instance, consensual adults, and it was over a decade ago, and we were acknowledged it. We are very transparent about it. What I did was wrong. I've regretted it. I don't think there's a day that goes by where I don't regret it. It's something that I have to live with. I'm now married with four extraordinary kids, and you know, I'm a better person coming out of it. But to the extent that others, you know, need to be held to account, I certainly respect that. And good people can disagree. I mean, everybody, I think there's a lot of conflation here on the Me Too movement. But at the same time, it's important that the women that have the courage to come forward, that their voices are heard, that we do justice to their voice, we affirm their voice, and we move forward with reforms. And California should lead the nation on whistleblower protections. We should lead the nation on independent, transparent investigations. And I really just applaud the women that are coming forward, and they deserve an enormous amount of credit.
Everybody at Newsom, everybody's afraid of something. What scares you about the prospect of occupying the governor's chair?
I think the unknown. I think the prospect of Mother Nature's fury as it relates to earthquakes, something I honestly think too much about, perhaps, and our ability to prepare for them and to address the issue of a crisis that will know no boundaries in this state. We're long overdue as it relates to seismic activity. I'm worried about the future of work. I'm worried about new work styles, new arrangements, contingent work, peak time workers, meaning people that are no longer enjoying careers but are employed by doing discrete tasks where they don't get benefits. They don't get workers' comp, unemployment insurance. They certainly don't get health care or retirement. And I worry what's happening with the growing divide between the haves and the have-nots. And I honestly fear that perhaps more than anything else, particularly with the prospects of labor-saving automation coming around the corner with driverless trucks, driverless cars, you know, cashierless grocery stores, a world that's radically reorganizing. And we need to prepare a 21st century workforce. We need to make sure we have the skills to prepare for that. And we need to address the issue of disparity in a way, humbly in closing, where I come from the view that we don't begrudge other people's success. We celebrate other people's success. That's the spirit of the dream, the American dream and the California dream. So I'm about not redistribution, but about pre-distribution. And that's creating real opportunities for people, investing in human capital and addressing these issues that do concern me in real time.
That is Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. He'll join many other candidates tonight at the governor's debate in San Jose. Gavin, thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be watching.
I'm honored. Thanks for having me this morning.